so much.
Yes, sir. He's from Fulton, Mississippi, and he does pastor a church over there. If you're ever in the big city of Fulton, a lot of scenic stuff to see there. I'm talking about just one fun thing after the other. It's like 3,500 people there, or so.
It's about right, 3,500. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1. I do love your pastor. We are a lot alike. I know he is not going to let this sickness thing go. But I am as stubborn as you are. So just set the record straight. I was sick 7 days. I did not lay in bed 7 days. In God's providence, the week that I was sick was the one week in the whole summer where I did not have a meeting where I was preaching. And I had promised a church member for 6 months that that week in July, I would help him do a building project. I am a carpenter by trade. So the first 4 days of those 7 days, I worked 9 hours a day carpentering, running a skill saw and tape measure, nail gun, and all that kind of good stuff. And in the middle of those 4 days, I took one day off to go to the doctor, and then after that, I laid in bed 2 days. I'm sure we will hear much more on this developing story tomorrow night. And all my medical records. Romans chapter 1. Y'all beat all I've ever seen singing. I tell you, every single person in this church can sing like a bird. And I praise the Lord for the wonderful talents and abilities that God has given to all of you here. And the meal was wonderful last night. We had a wonderful meal at lunch today. And I'm looking forward to the meal tonight. Barbecue means meat. I like meat. I don't always get meat. My wife looked over at me when he was talking about the food we get sometimes. Most time I live on a salad. Not because I particularly love or like salad. I mean, you can live on it. But most places there's no meat. And when you are carnivorous and you go to a church that has a barbecue, you know one thing, there will be meat. So without further ado, Romans chapter 1, verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Look, if you would, at verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Verse 31 begins by saying, without understanding. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God. I'll stop reading there. I have selectively read verses in Romans 1 that contain the word know understood in connection to the Word God. So I'm preaching about knowing God. Knowing God. And the technical term that I'm giving to this is the epistemology of theology. Epistemology is the study of how you know what you know. We talked about that last night. How do you know what you know? How do you know what you know is real? How do you know that what you know is right? How do you know that what you know is true? How do you know that what you know is truth? Epistemology is how you know that you know. Theology is the study of God. The epistemology of theology is just knowing God. How you know that you know God. It's not enough to think that you know God. It's not enough to hope that you know God or even to feel that you know God. You must know that you know God. John uses that expression multiple times in 1 John, where he talks not only about knowing God, but knowing that you know God. Knowing that you know God. Do you know God? How do you know that you know God? How do you know that you know the God who is real, right, true, and truth? That's the question that Paul is dealing with in Romans chapter number 1. Now, I have three things that I want to say. I'm going to give you one of them tonight, one of them in the morning, and then one tomorrow night. Okay? Tonight, I want to talk to you about what I'm calling simply this. We do know God. Big point number one is, we do know God. In the morning, I'm going to show you big point number two. We don't know God. We don't know God. And then tomorrow night from this chapter, I'm going to show you number three. We can know God. We don't know God, or we do know God. We don't know God. We can know God. So let me prove to you from Romans chapter number one tonight that we do know God. We do know God. That there is absolutely no such thing as an atheist. And Romans chapter number 1 proves there are no natural born atheists in the world. Nobody has ever been born an atheist. An atheist by definition, theist, meaning God, putting the prefix A or A on the front of an English word negates that word. An atheist is one who says there is no God. But nobody's ever been born an atheist. Did you know that many, many, many atheists have been put on lie detector machines and given lie detector tests? For decades and decades and decades that technology has been available. As far as I know, no atheist who has ever been hooked to a lie detector test, who has ever been asked the question, is there a God, who answered no, ever passed a lie detector test yet. We all know God. We all know. The title of my sermon tonight is this, You Know. You Know. You ever said that to somebody that asks you a question? You say, oh, you know. You know. I am going to lay special stress tonight on verse 19, verse 20, and verse 32, those three verses. And from each of those three verses, show you three points about how you know that you know that you know God. I mean, if you go to Philosophy 101, one of these young people, they go to college and they say, now you say there's a God, but you don't know that there's a God. And how did you? Oh, yeah, I would debate any philosophy professor anywhere or any atheist anywhere, anytime, on the three points that Paul makes in Romans 3 about how all men know God. Are you with me? Look at verse number 19. Here's the first one. Verse number 19 says this. He says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. All men know God. All humans who have ever lived know that there is a God. Because verse 19 says, God has made himself known by manifesting himself in them and showing it unto them. In other words, God put his knowledge, the basic knowledge of God, inside of every human heart. How did he do that? Number one, here's how we know that we know God: through moral communication. Through God's moral communication. What does it mean in verse number 19 when it says that God, or this knowledge of God, has been manifested in us and showed? What did God put in us that lets us know there is a God? He put a conscience in us. Is that right? All right, look in Romans chapter number 2. Just hold your place there at 1 and 19. Look in chapter 2 and verse 15. Which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, the meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. God put in every human's heart, in every human soul, a moral command center known as our conscience. And our conscience reveals to us that there is a God, and the God who is a moral being. I can prove to every human on earth that there is a God by pointing out that every human being is born with a moral conscience. Paul said in the last verse we read, 2 and 15, that God has written his law in our hearts, and then explains that it is the conscience where the law has been written that either accuses or excuses us. Did I read that right in 2 and 15? Every human is born with the law of God, those 10 moral commandments in the 10 commandments written in their heart, engraved on their conscience. That's why every human being knows that it is wrong to lie, that it is wrong to commit adultery, that it is wrong to steal, and that it is wrong to murder, that it is wrong to cheat. Are y'all with me? Every human being knows that those things are wrong instinctively and intuitionally. Amen? You take the most godless reprobate out there, says he's an atheist and doesn't believe in God, and let somebody tell him a lie. Let his wife or her husband lie to them, or let their children lie to them, or their boss lie to them. They will not say, well, you know, we can't say lying is wrong because, you know, if I do that, that means there is a God. I mean, who says lying's wrong? I'm asking y'all a question. Who says lying is wrong? If there is no God, there is no such thing as sin. If there is no God, there is no such thing as morality. If there is no God, there is no such thing as right or wrong in the world. You take any atheist on the earth, he said, no, there's no God. Lie to him. Ask him if it's okay. Steal from him. Empty his bank account. Steal his car. His bass boat, wave going down the road, Oh, he doesn't get mad at all. Well, can't say it's wrong because I don't believe in God. Oh, no, he thinks it's wrong. He wants to defund the police, but he's going to call the cops and want them down there immediately when you're pulling off with his bass boat. That's why I don't have any sympathy for these people who commit murder, and especially serial killers. They're insane. They don't know what they're doing. They're insane. You can't put them away for life. You can't give them the death penalty. They're just sick. They don't know. They don't understand. Let me get this right. They killed the people they killed at night in secret when nobody else is looking. And then they hid the body where nobody would find it, they thought. And then when they're arrested and caught, they lie about it and say they didn't do it. Hang them. They ain't insane. They knew exactly what they were doing and they knew it was wrong. Are y'all with me? Can you just kill somebody? I mean, is that cool? Why not? Why not? There's only one reason why you can't. There's only one reason. Why? Because there is a God. And God said you can't do that, and every human heart knows it. Amen? Are you tracking with what I'm telling you? If there is no God, there is no law, there is no morality, there is no right, there is no wrong, there is no guilt, there is no shame. If there is no God, you don't need the police. If there is no God, you don't need the sheriff's department. If there is no God, you don't need a government. You don't need legislatures. You don't need a court, and you don't need a judge, and you don't need any lawyers. But if you need all of that, it's because there is a God, and we do know what's right and wrong. You know. You know, you know. Don't play possum with me. You know. It's okay to sleep with whoever you want to, whenever you want to. But what about those who say it is okay to sleep with whoever you want to, whenever you want to? And then they finally settle down, start shacking up with somebody. Or maybe they get married to that person, who obviously, both of which have thought all their life, you can sleep with whoever you want to, whenever you want to, however you want to, which means they're going to do it after they get married. But it's two atheists, and they've always said there ain't no right or wrong, ain't no good or bad, ain't no black or white, it's all gray. You do you. You do you. Hey, you live your truth. That's what you do. When the person they're shacking up with or married to starts sleeping with other people, they don't say, hey, you know, that's cool. That's cool. You do you. They are morally outraged by the betrayal. If you believe there is any such thing in the world as right and wrong, if you believe there is any such thing as morality, if you believe there is any such thing as ethic, if you believe that there is any such thing as law, as decency, it is only because deep down in your heart you know that there is a God. Or morality could not exist. God is a moral necessity in the universe. There is moral communication that is inside of every one of us. So that when your parents give you that look, something happens. They didn't even say anything. They just give you that look, but something. Or they say, did you do that? You ever know sometimes your parents will watch you do it and then say, did you just do that? Do you feel something? Does your heart start to pound? Like, who was that, Donald Ducks, when he saw Daisy Duck, you know, his heart. That is your conscience. You got caught. You about to get got. Why? Because there is a God. Now that's how I know you know. You know. Number two. You know, not only because of God's moral communication, but because of God's material creation. Look at verse 20. His material creation. Verse number 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. It is clearly seen, being understood. It is seen and understood by the things that are made, and through creation we all clearly see and understand God's eternal power and Godhead, so that they, all of the human race, are without excuse. Verse number 25 speaks of God as the Creator. That men would rather worship the creature than the Creator. Meaning that all men know there is a Creator, but they prefer the creature to the Creator. But you know that there is a God through the material creation of God. Not just moral communication, but material creation. The design that exists in the universe. The 15 constants on which the universe ever depends and never evolves are proof positive that there is a God, and He is the Creator of all things. And all men know that. All men know that. The only other possibility that has ever been presented outside of a God who created is that there was once nothing and nothing exploded. It's difficult to say with a straight face, but they do. Nothing exploded. There was no motion that accelerated the explosion. There was no match to light the explosion. There was no mass or matter to fuel the explosion, but trust us, it exploded. What did? Nothing. And when it did, it became something. What did it become? We don't know. Something. But we know over billions of years that when nothing exploded and something happened, that over hundreds of billions of years, inanimate rocks begin to evolve out of it. And inanimate rocks over hundreds of billions of time begin to soften and evolve into inanimate water. And over hundreds of billions of years, when the inanimate water rolled over the inanimate rock that come out of the explosion from nothing, finally one single-celled organism evolved. And over hundreds of billions of years, that one animate, living, single-cell organism evolved into the innumerable species of trees and of plants, and then the innumerable species of fish and innumerable species of birds, and then from there into an innumerable species of reptiles, and from there an innumerable species of mammals, and then from there an innumerable number of human beings, 8 billion of them on planet Earth today, and every one of them having a different signature on their fingerprint and their retina. And science has the audacity to say, and we now know. No, you don't know. Let me tell you what you do know. You know. That none of this could exist. Nothing could exist unless there is a God who has always exists. You know. We all know. I am of the persuasion in 2 Thessalonians 2 when it talks about God sending strong delusion. We'll talk about that in the morning more. That they all might believe the lie. The lie. This is an opinion. You don't have to agree. I think it's talking about evolution. It has spawned everything that's wrong in the world today. Everything. I believe the Antichrist will be the ultimate evolutionist. I think that he will claim to be the most evolved human who has ever. You have to be nearly crazy to believe in the unfounded, unproven theory of evolution. That's why many children of atheists on record have looked up at the sky and said to their parents, "Daddy, Mama, does God know that we don't believe in Him?" You know. So before I close, let me throw this in here. That's why you know abortion is wrong. Yes, sir. You know why? Because it's against creation. You know. That's why they're so mad. That's why all of them are so angry. They're having to fight every day of their life against their conscience and the creation around them that lets them know there is a God, and this is murder. That's why you know homosexuality is wrong. Because Romans 1, 26 and 27 says about homosexuality and lesbianism, it's against nature. What does that mean? It means it's against God's created in nature. It goes against creation. It's against creation law. It is not natural. And every human knows it. That's why they're so angry. Television wants to present all these gays as the nicest, kindest, friendliest, sweetest, well-rounded, sacrifice and humble, serving, best neighbors, best parents, just best friends in the whole world. Is that true? No, they're very angry people. Very angry. Not only is the suicide rate highest among the LGBTQ plus 2AI question mark community of any community in the world. You think I made that up? I didn't. Every time I say that, everybody laughs. They think I'm making an insult or a joke. No, that's what that's the letters they've added this year. Y'all still think I'm kidding? I am not kidding. Those are the letters they've added this year. We ain't got time to get into all that. Not only is the suicide rate the highest in that community than any other community of people in the world, so is the homicide rate. They're angry. They burned. Look at verse 26. It says, they burned in their lust. An angry lust. I would not recommend that you ever look at one of their pride videos when they march up and down these big streets, right in the middle of town, right out in the wide open in front of God and everybody, some of the most lewd, vile, vicious, nasty, and depraved displays that you could ever imagine in your life. Why are they so angry and lewd and vicious? Because they know. I'm not mad about things I believe. I don't have any internal conflict. I'm not struggling and fighting and raging. I don't want to kill nobody. I don't want to stand out in 112 degree weather with a sign on, getting sunburned, third degree burns, going to have to stay in the hospital, jumping up and down with rage on my face. I ain't mad. Because I know. Just like you know there are only two genders. Not 70 like the American government has said over the last year. No. There's not 70. There's two. There's only two. There's not less than two. There's not more than two. You're one of two. You're not both of the two. You know. Our president and vice president, they know. Ms. Pelosi, she knows. She knows. You don't need tampons in the boys' bathroom. You know. Some of you are thinking, they just don't know that they know. What's wrong with these people? They don't know. You men cannot be. I know the federal government has said you can be birthing persons. And some of you think, I cannot believe these people believe. They don't. They know. There's male and female. Males are men, husbands and fathers. Females are women. And they are to become wives and mothers. You know. All that other stuff is just fighting with rage against what you know. You just don't want to know what you know. Amen? I can prove it. I mean, am I not just proving? They say, oh, you know, belief in God is just a matter of faith. Well, it takes faith. But listen, I mean, I'm just proving it. You ain't even got to have no faith. All you have to have is just a human, you just have to be a human being. Whether you got any faith or not, you got a conscience and you got a creation. And here's the last thing and I'm done. I'm doing okay. I have been up here 35 minutes. And I have one more point that'll take me five. You said 10 last night. It was longer than 10. 5 minutes, okay? Here we go. Verse 32. This is it. Conclusion. You know there's a God. Because of moral communication in your conscience, material creation in the world, you know that there is a God. Number three, because of mortal consummation. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God. Here's what every human being knows. That's what you know. That's how you know there's a God. This is what you know. Every human being on earth believes in death. Did you know the animals don't know they're going to die? They're not preparing for death. They're not worried about death. Fish don't know they're going to die. Birds don't know they're going to die. You do. take any old stone cold atheist, just Carl Sagan, Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking always said there was no God. There was no God. There was no God. He always said evolution was an absolute proven fact. Till right before he died. When they told him he was going to die. Remember what he said when he told him he was going to die? That's what he said. There may be a God. And though evolution did happen, it ain't happening no more. It's amazing. When the week he told him he was going to die, he started hedging. He said, well, you know, there could be a God. Maybe I can earn some favor with him if I say, we're not evolving anymore. Amongst all men, amongst all tribes and all people throughout the history of all of the world, all men have believed in some God and some afterlife. All men. Isn't it amazing you can go up to these people protesting for abortion, protesting for same-sex marriage, protesting to outlaw all guns. And ask them, what do you believe is going to happen to you when you die? You know what they all say? I'm going to go to heaven. Hold on. What? Heaven? What are you talking about? Where'd you get that idea from? Ask anybody on earth, where do you think Adolf Hitler is right now? What are they going to say? I know what that was. I have no idea. I have no idea how that answered the question. Ask Joe Biden where Adolf Hitler is. What's he going to say? I mean, is there any human on earth that doesn't believe Hitler's in hell, except for Nazis today? Of which, apparently, there are many in Ukraine. Hold on now. Adolf Hitler's in hell. How's that possible? You know. You're going to heaven when you die? How do you know there's a heaven? Who told you there's a heaven? Who told you that? Where did you get that from? You know. You only got that from one place. You got that from God. You know you're going to die. You know when you do, there's going to be a judgment. You have deceived and convinced yourself that you'll be okay. How could you be when you stand before the God you've raged against all of your life and denied? You know there's a God because there is a mortal consummation. You as a mortal will stand before an immortal God in the consummate, in the end. You do know God. You do know that you know God. You do know that you know that you know God. I have proven it to you from Paul's writing. Now, you can be wise and turn to that God and bow down to that God. Or you can be one of the fools Paul's talking about and turn away from that. I have never met one atheist in my whole life. Never one. Now, I have talked to a number who has ever yet rejected God on an intellectual basis. They just didn't have enough intellectual facts or proof to believe in God.
Oh, y'all were hurrying up to get those Bibles closed. I can take a hint. I can take a hint. You know. Yeah, I know. I never met an atheist yet that just rejected God because he just didn't believe there was any proof, any evidence, any. You don't reject God for intellectual or philosophical. You only reject God for moral reasons. It's not that they don't believe in God. They're mad at the God who is. Don't do that. Let's stand and pray. Pastor, you come.
Amen. Our musicians, our song director come and get ready to say the prayer, and maybe you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord. And maybe you're here tonight and God's been pounding on your heart's door. You know something about God, but the big question is, does God know you? That's the question. He'll either say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," or, "Depart from me, you're a worker of iniquity. I never knew you." Our Father, we ask your blessings upon now this sermon. Lord, how we thank him for the word of God and the spirit of God to lead us, guide us, direct us into all the truth. Thy word is truth. Maybe somebody would say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I've been on the run from God a while. Been trying to put it all together. God has come knocking on my heart's door." May they trust him in the free pardon of sin. And we'll say thank you in advance for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number is it?
Page 114.
Come quickly while we sing. If you need to come, do it quickly. Amen.